So what I want to get into is talking about measuring everything that we have and understanding to live responsibly. Here we are, it's a brand new year, and the gyms make fun of us every year. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, the day before Christmas, gym's a ghost house. You know, day after New Year's, shoulder to shoulder. It lasts 3 weeks, everybody falls off, but we make a 1 year to 2 year to 3 year commitment to pay $20 a month for the rest of our life for a gym that we're not going to go to. Right? Or all these different resolutions and things that we're coming up with to better ourselves. But really, it's understanding exactly where we're at. What does the Bible say about living responsibly? So if I hold myself accountable to that specifically, or am I, then I'm going to know whether I'm progressing at the rate that God has set before me. That's the question. Am I progressing at the rate that I'm pushing myself into this? Or am I progressing at the rate that God has set in front of me? Because God, being the Almighty Creator of the entire universe, can put me anywhere. He needs me, amen. Right? He can open up doors that I didn't know had paths to get down to. I know I have to understand this. But like, when we're talking about living responsibly, we go into the word. There's four major things that we should touch on when we're talking about this. And number one is time. Number two is unrighteous gain, honest gain. Number three is complacency. And then number four is divine authority. And that's what I want to talk about. So for New Year's message today, I want to talk about living responsibly. So that way we can all get on track. What does God say I should be doing with my time? I promise you, if we put my time on the paper and held it up and put it on the wall right now, you guys are gonna strike me out, right? I'm gonna fail yesterday. Amen. Right? But I can be mindful of the fact that today I'm being presented information from God telling me to encourage me to do the right thing so I can grow. So my point is no matter what you're dealing with last year, no matter what you brought with you last year, if that's not benefiting you today and that's dragging you back and there's no, you know, all it is ties to being frustration, unforgiveness, things you haven't let go. Let's leave that 2016. Amen. Right? Today, like as of, you know, today, yesterday's past relationships with people that I haven't forgiven, mistakes that I've made that I can't make up for, I'm going to cut off so I can focus on being the positive me that God wants me to be. I need to focus on the direction that God wants me to go. And I don't need any room for discontentment in my life, frustration in my life anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Do we agree on that?
Yes.
So the first thing he talks about is time. And the first thing I'm talking about really is time. And it says in Proverbs, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, no officer, no ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions for the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep?" And then he says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to the rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond, your need like an armed man." Something like 2016 microwave generation, we're familiar with this. We want everything, we want it now. We've talked about that 1,000 times. I don't have to go too far into that. But the thing that we don't quite understand is kind of that reference that I was making about being frustrated with my job taking up a lot of my time and learning how to accept that discipline. Amen. Learning that your progress is going to come, but it may come on a yearly or bi-yearly basis, right? See, we're brought up in this whole world where if I want to eat, I want to drive-through, I want to eat right now. If I want money, I want it in my pocket. If I want a place, I'm going to get it tomorrow. If I'm looking at a car, I want to buy it no matter what, right? So we put these things before us, and it brings us out of that mindset where the old school guys have earned everything that they've gotten to. You know, they blood, sweat, and tears. They've had a car for 61 years. They're still driving that bad boy, right? Because they appreciate that. That's a different place. We didn't come from that world, you know? And just understanding your time. Now, in Isaiah, he says, "Because of iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and I struck him. I hid my face and I was angry. He went on turning in the way of his heart." And I have to think about this. So how do I handle these motives? Like, in the past, when I was talking about cutting corners, right? Like, we're all familiar with cutting corners. We know in our own minds and our hearts when we're shaving the edges and then cutting that corner to get where we need to get. And we've cut so many corners in our lifestyle that we've chopped off the integrity that's in our heart that stops us from doing the right thing. I still crack up, you know, it's like, and my mom was a funny thing. Every time we go out to dinner if somebody overpaid us change or something, she'd stop them all. No, 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 no. You gave us too much. You gave us an extra 20 or something. You got to have that, you know, just doing the right thing. Well, I go out to dinner with my wife. She'd be like, you better not say nothing about that, right? Well, this is a different mindset of where you're around or where you're brought up from. But in reality of it all, I would like to think that God creates the integrity in me to do the right thing no matter what situation I'm in. Amen. Might not be change at the bank. Might not be a friend that's calling. Might be a phone call that I don't want to answer. Whatever it may be, that it calls me to do the right thing, to be the right man for God. And in this, if we go back a little ways, when we were all kind of just kind of being questionable with our activities, God said, because of his iniquity, of his unjust gain, I was angry and I struck him. And he went on turning in the way of his heart. And that's the funny thing about God being a gentleman. See, today, we very easily have the opportunity to choose to walk with the Lord, and we very easily have the opportunity to choose to walk in the flesh. And it's presented there before us because God's a gentleman. He's not going to force us to do it, otherwise there wouldn't be free will. So I have to choose God every day when my friends call and they're going somewhere that I shouldn't be. I have to choose God when I'm sitting on the couch and I know I'm supposed to be doing things for the kids. I need to choose what God wants me to do. You see what I'm saying? So every day, this crossroads coming with my time. Lesson in my time. And what am I doing with my time? And God's overseeing this. You know, am I wasting this? Am I throwing it away? What am I doing with my time? I got to ask myself. And when I choose to do the wrong thing, he allows me to do that. You know, the end of this verse, we're not going to get to today, but he basically says, but I will forgive him and restore the joy to him and his mourners. That's what he says in the end of the verse. It says, because if God holds out, God's angry with me and he holds out, then I'll wither away. Because a man's like a flower in the field. It's such beauty, but then overnight it passes away and the flower's no more. So our little bitty time frame that we're awarded to live in this life compared to eternity is nothing, right? But to me, it's forever because I'm doing this time right now. But to God, it's nothing. He's infinite, but I'm maybe 42 years if I go another two, right? How many of us guarantee we're going to be here tomorrow? None of us, right? None of us can guarantee we'll be here tomorrow, right? So what am I doing with my time right now? Because that's the conversation we always have with my teenager. I'll be like, well, what about this and this and this and this and this? And the first answer is going to be, well, I was, right? But I can't give that answer to God. If tonight on the way home, I don't make it, and God was like, well, you're not right with me. And I was like, well, I was. God ain't going to buy that. Just like I ain't buying it. Amen? Clean your room. I was, right? But clean my room. Clean my house, right? Let me get right with God before it's too late. See, in 32:5, he says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you have forgiven the guilt of my sin. And this is such a powerful thing when you bring to the table your true form before God. So I can come immediately to the table through Jesus Christ and get on my knees and say, God, because of you, I'm here and this is all that I am. Go in the holiest of holies and speak to the creator of the universe and say, it's all me. I'm here right now thanks to you, right? So where are you going to take me? And that's just the thing. David said, I acknowledged my sin to you. The many more days, those of us that are a little bit older know that as long as you got things in your back pocket that you're not willing to deal with, those things in your back pocket are going to come out. Amen? Amen? Right? Those of you guys who have been around a while know this. We talked, that one guy was talking about feeding chickens in the backyard, the hidden chickens of sin. But he keeps feeding them and they keep getting bigger. Then they got babies and they have babies and he keeps feeding them. Pretty soon he's got a farm he can't hide. And that's just like that sin when we let it fester in our life, that temptation when we let it fester in our life. We don't deal with it. We push it away. But when we push it away, we just keep feeding it, keep it on the side because I'm not dealing with it yet. But it's growing. And pretty soon it's going to overgrow my ability to feed it. So I'm going to be accountable for it regardless. So why not just go to the table tonight, shut the door by myself and get on and say, God, this is my problem. Amen. God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through right now. Tell you to help me deal with this. Give me the tools to deal with this. You know, because I don't have a lot of time. I'm frail. I realize this. Lesson number two. Let me see. Hold on. I missed a verse. Jesus in 11:28, Matthew says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all ye that are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. And the thing I want to point out about this is he's not cutting anybody out. He said, anybody who's tired, anybody who's worn out, anybody that needs to regenerate, anybody that wants that lifestyle, come to me and I will give you rest. Is that what he said? That's what the verse says. He said, you got to put on your best t-shirt today. He said, you got to get over your mistakes from yesterday. You just got to come with an honest heart today. Go in on your knees and shut the door by yourself and talk to God. Amen? Amen. All right. So, lesson two is complacency. And he says, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even one of you has an abundance, thus his life consists of his possessions. The land of the rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning with himself, and the idea is a virus, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, what will I do? I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all the grains for my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul will be required of you, and who will own what you have prepared? So this is the man who stores up for treasures for himself and not be rich towards the Lord. So this is kind of a tough thing to explain. I'm going to go one more verse in. Proverbs 1 says, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. This is a direct influence that we can learn for about our mindset of our daily activity. And then what I want to talk about for one second is we as a people have a tendency to be complacent. All we want to do is we want to reach a specific level, a specific goal. And when we get to that part, when we get to this idea of this is what's perfect for me, because each and every one of us in the room have that idea, right? We all have this idea in our minds that I can achieve this shelf of having the proper house, the proper family, the proper things, the proper requirements. That's perfect, right? And I just have to leave it alone. And once I get there, I'm all good. I've succeeded. But in reality, it's kind of a farsity. There's no such thing. We grow from birth until death. That's reality. There's no achievement that says I can hang up my hat from future growth because I'm fleshly. And I have to turn towards a spiritual mindset and a spiritual thinking. And this is forever growth until I'm united to Christ. Amen? Amen. So complacency, there's no level. So having taken the level off, then that removes the pressure of where I'm supposed to be because I'm looking at Steve and I'm seeing everything Steve's got. Right? I'm looking at Bruce, I see everything Bruce has got, and now I feel bad about myself because I'm not the best looking guy, I'm not in the best shape, I don't have the nicest car, I don't have the nicest things. Right? I start to compare myself. But Paul said, he said, we won't be so bold as to clash or compare ourselves to those that commend themselves by comparing themselves to themselves because they're void of understanding. What's he saying there? Specifically this, that if I compare myself to you and put my mark on you, that's where I'm successful, then I've already failed. Amen? When I think about this and I attune myself to the love in the direction of Jesus Christ, then it's ever growing forever because I'm this big on that map. Amen. I know this now. So that every single day is going to be a tiny growth towards Christ. I pray that it will be. Amen. Because the side effects of growth in Christ are peace, success, rebuilt relationships, consistency. When have we had those side effects in our lives? Amen. Most of my side effects have been nodding out, breaking up relationships, handcuffs. Amen. Right? I'm ready to have some side effects of Christ right now in my life. Amen? Yes or no? Yeah. Right? I want it. I'm not afraid to say it. Amen? Amen. So complacency is a trap. And in Revelations, he says, do not fear. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This progress is never ending. And now lesson four is accept divine authority. And this is where living responsibly really comes in. I got a parable from Jesus in Matthew 25:14. I'm going to read it to you. He says, for it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own employees and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1, each according to their own ability. I want to point that out in that verse. Each according to their own ability. We'll be back. So He goes, and then he went on a journey. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who received 2 talents went and gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went away, dug a hole, put it in the ground, hid his master's money. Now, a long time after, the master comes back to his employees to settle his account. The one who received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you've entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've given you 5 more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained you 2 more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received 1 talent came up to the master and said, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping and sowing where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. But see, now you can have what was yours. And his master answered him and said, You wicked, lazy, you knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scattered no seed, then you ought to put my money in the bank. And then upon my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, I'm going to take away the talent from you and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Listen to this principle. For everyone who does, more shall be given. And he who has an abundance but the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw them out to the worthless outer darkness in the place where weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we have to understand this principle, a spiritual principle, in every aspect of our life when we're talking about living responsibly. So I'm going to break this down basically. Each and every single one of us have received different gifts from God. Some of us have just so many amazing talents that God has instilled in us and encouraged us to ripen and grow, to put to use in the community. It's not specifically financial. It could be spiritual. It could be, you know, there's just, think of the different types of gifts that are out there in the world. There's people who are very compassionate, people that have an ability to speak, people that have an ability to take care of other people. Just being a part of the Christian system. Are we clear on this? Right, there's all these different types of abilities that he's given to us. But when I live my life in the world every day, and God, let's say God has given me 7 abilities to benefit the kingdom, to love one another, right? So what did he say? He said, what do I do before all things? To love my God with all my heart and all my strength, and to love another just as I love myself. So all the commandments based on these 2 commandments, to love God with everything I have and all that I am, right? But I choose rather to spend all my time benefiting Ben. I choose all my time to have all these things, and I spend all this very selfish. So what happens is God has given me so many talents, but I've chosen to use my talents to benefit me and not him or other people that he created. And what happens to me? What happened to the one that took the talent and hid it away and didn't share it? He took it away. What did he do, though? He gave it to the one that already was being responsible with what he gave him. Amen? So here's my point in this story, is that today, being a new year, a new plan, a new goal, together, we can exercise these talents that God has given us to benefit him and the others around us. Amen? And as we continue to grow, maybe one of us have 1 talent right now. Maybe some of us have 2. Maybe some of us have 8. Maybe some of us have 9, right? But if we put those talents in action, what are we going to learn? Because the ones that aren't using those talents, he's going to take them from them. Who's he going to give them to? He's going to give them to you because you're being faithful and walking that walk. Amen? And walking the walk and being beneficial in the kingdom, you are going to grow. So the question is, how am I going to grow in the world? I have to look at every single thing that God has given me, my time, my ability, my resources. Am I using this to benefit the kingdom? Am I using this to benefit one another? Amen? Right? Then I know that no matter where I am on this scale, if I'm right here, but I'm working it and God's growing me, I can be as big as God chooses for me to be. Amen? But the flip side of that is, if I continue to feed my flesh and to feed my sin and to feed all these things that pull me away from God, and I don't use my talent, what's the logical thing that's going to happen to me? Huh? He's going to take it away. Amen. Right? So that's living responsibly according to God. I don't think that we have to really stick on this too much. But the explanation of true authority in reference to the talents is physical. It's spiritual. It's a progression of success. So I can look at where I spend my time. Is my time benefiting God? I can look at my resources and abilities that He's given me. Are they benefiting God? Amen. I need to start to look inside of myself and see exactly where I'm at. But remember what we said in the beginning verse about 15 minutes ago, that Jesus said, "Come all to me, ye that are weary and laden, and I will give you rest." So that's, to me, that means that it's time to start. Amen. If I hadn't started yesterday, then it's time for me to start today. Amen. Right? Then I don't have to feel bad about this. He didn't tell me to feel sorry for myself. God's not a God of suffering. God is a God of love. Amen. Amen. We have to understand. We talked about love a couple weeks ago. I got a couple more verses. Just to drive that home, Jeremiah says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were consecrated, I appointed you to be a prophet amongst the nations." And verse 12, a little later on, says, "For I am watching over my word to perform it." So God chooses us from the very beginning and puts in place His ability to grow us to where we need to be in the kingdom. And then He says that when you want to talk about divine authority comes with provision. But most of our problems, you know, that we look at from a worldly aspect is not having enough. But we serve a God of provision. So my question today is, am I frustrated about the things that I want? Or am I frustrated about the things that I need? Because I'm pretty confident that everybody in the room has everything they need. Amen? Amen. You guys look good. All right? Right? You do. You look good. So I'm thinking we might have everything we need. So my frustration might be just the things that I want that are getting in the way. Because we serve a God of provision. And being a God of provision, He says in verse 12, "I'm watching over my word to perform it." Because God said, "I send my word forth, and it does not come back to me void without accomplishing what I set it out to do." So the thing is when Marvin's encouraged us to stay in the Word, when we get in places that are conducive to spiritual growth, and it benefits us, and it grows us, and it nurtures us, and we get in that Word, and we align ourselves with God's Word, we know God's Word's going to succeed. Amen? So it doesn't have to be a mystery to me today to know how to succeed. All I need to know is to get into God's Word. Because Ben is not going to make it. Amen. Ben's logic, Ben's experience, Ben's resources are insufficient. Amen. Anybody realize that?
Yeah.
Right? So the more I get to God, the stronger I become, the more consistent I become. You wonder where relationships restore themselves. And we talked about side effects of the relationship of God and that consistency of that trust of looking into your loved ones and knowing when they look back at you that you can be trusted. And that you can count on them and that they can count on you. A consistency that you never had before is a side effect of the love of God. Amen? So that's how I get on track today. That's how I succeed in 17. I get into the Word. I stay in the Word. And God said, "I chose you in the womb." I know He did. Amen? I just have to accept it now and let Him do His work and be mindful of growing in this avenue. In Isaiah 55, He says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so my word will be when it goes forth from my mouth and will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter of which I sent it." So the key here is that God is sitting over here and He said, furnishing seed to the sower. If you're in a specific type of ministry out here today, God's going to provide that seed for you. If you're doing the right thing and you're active in where you go, you're going to have the resources that you need. But I've come to find that all this other stuff, just like Solomon said, is vain. It's meaningless, right? Think of how many different crazy achievements you've been through in your lifetime that just accomplished nothing. The need to grow still wasn't filled. The action wasn't there. The peace of God wasn't in our hearts because we were seeking after that, where the Bible says, "Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, sore the hearts of men." And what He's talking about is that void in our lives that we're just constantly trying to fill because I just want to feel better. Amen? I just want to feel better, so I got to fill this void all the time to put this in there to make me... But I wake up tomorrow and I don't feel better. Whether I put it in with work, success, money, drugs, girls, boys, I don't know. You know, we're all in here, not quite specifically for me, listeners, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Whatever fills that void can't fill it the way God does, because God cures it. Amen? That never-ending, insufficient hole that can't be filled is filled with Christ. And that's the answer. That's the thing. And Psalm 19:70 said, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm the work of our hands." Yes, confirm the work of our hands. The conclusion to living responsibly begins with realignment. Amen. So we don't have to set all these goals. We don't have to write all these things. We don't have to make a 14-page paper about what we're going to be in 2017. It's actually very simple. I just need to spend more time with God and less time with myself. Amen. And if we continue to do that, it's going to be a progressive, measurable outcome that are going to achieve greater things than we would ever set our minds to begin with. Amen? All right, let's pray.